Welcome to today's episode of the Auburn Daily Podcast. As always, it is your host, Alex, aka Auburn Memes. Now, for this episode, as promised, we got some guests coming on board. We finally got our tech stuff all set up so we can actually do it big, just like how we planned. So today's special guest, a very good lifelong friend of mine, Mr. Pat Barnes. Yes, you heard that right. His name is Barnes. He has Auburn so deep in his roots, it is literally on his birth certificate. Now, that name may not jump out at you as somebody that you would know, but I can guarantee you, you do know him. You did not know Bruce Wayne was Batman when he did not have the mask on, but Pat Barnes has been operating in the shadows on social media and message boards, roasting everybody when they have hot takes, bad takes, or just general idiocracy posted on the internet. He will find you, and he will most definitely interact with you, and it's probably gotten a little bit heated, but you didn't know it's him. We're not in the business of doxing right now, so his true identity, his version of Batman, will be kept a mystery for right now, but he did agree to come on this show, and in just the perfect fashion, the theme of the episode that we had to have him on here for was none other than hot takes. So went up there on Twitter over the weekend and got everybody's hot takes about various things on Auburn. Some of them were really, really hot. Some of them pretty fair takes. But there's going to be none other than the professional of judging and roasting for hot takes, Pat Barnes. He's going to be on here for it. Welcome to the show, Pat. I'm going to ask you the first question here for the takes. Do we want a fastball take, or do we want a nice little curveball, tee it up and ease into it? How do we want to start?
Hey, I've never been shy, so I say we go straight with the heat right out of the gate.
Okay. Want to go with the heat?
Yeah. Well, let's see what you got. I mean, I don't, we go dive straight into the deep end. We don't want to wade into the shallows of the kiddie pool. You know, like you said, I've been doing this for about 15 years now. So, I'm ready for the good stuff.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and just roast myself here. So I had a very infamous tweet, and I talked about it pretty extensively on last episode. And I you know, if anybody's going to take the first bullet, I think it should be me It wouldn't be right if I didn't.
Well, you've taken a lot of bullets from me over the years, so you're
yeah, yeah, no, exactly, yeah. Just it's nothing you hadn't done here before, and that's the thing about it is I want everybody else to know, like, I've been this guy. I've been on the receiving end of this. So, I mean,
you've probably taken the most bullets over the years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, his number one take is Auburn Memes Twitter account should be deleted. Like, that take has been out there for years. Like, you've not shied away from that, and you True. Wouldn't shy away from it right now. But so I before we get into it, let me read the tweet again. So I had said, second winnable game in a row, Thorne has cost Auburn. Time to look elsewhere in the depth chart. Now, I'm going to edit this a little bit because I don't want you roasting that for word because I need to get the amended version of that. Is I'm not going to say Thorne actually cost Auburn the Georgia game, like directly. It wasn't solely him. A&M, 100%. That was on Thorne. But I still say Peyton Thorne is the reason Auburn did not win against Georgia. And they should look somewhere else on the depth chart. Give me your version, or sorry, give me your take on that take.
This is your take that Peyton Thorne cost us the Auburn game.
No, that's what I originally tweeted, but I was amending that. I'm not saying he cost Auburn the game against Georgia, but I'm saying he's the reason Auburn didn't beat Georgia. Okay. And I can clarify that if I need to, but just for, you know, surface sake, get into that one.
I don't think Peyton Thorne played a good game, and I'm probably less fiery about this one than even you would think.
Ooh, okay.
I do think the receivers are the number one problem in that game. I know that tweet was floating around out there where I think six of his nine incompletions hit a receiver in the hands and they didn't catch it. You and I discussed this the other day. I don't think all of those drops were passes where the ball hit the receiver in the hands or the receiver's fault. I think the majority of them was due to the receiver not either making a play or not being in the right position to make a play, like you saw with that Mardner throw on second down on the last drive. I do think Peyton Thorne has obviously tons of room to improve, and he's got to be a better player if we're going to win games like that. But I would put the majority of the line share the blame definitely on the receivers in that game. None of them are getting separation outside of fair occasionally. You know, we brought a bunch of guys in, which in hindsight we probably should have seen coming. When you bring transfers in from Jackson State and North Texas, they're probably not going to be frontline SEC players, but you know, I bought into the hype too. I was telling everybody, hey, we got a guy that led the NCAA in yards per catch last year. We're in business. Thorne definitely cost us the A&M, cost the A&M game, but he was a huge issue there. I don't think he was the biggest issue against Georgia by far, though.
Yeah, so then the second part of that, is it too soon to say, hey, maybe we need to start looking elsewhere on the depth chart?
I would say, who's a better option on the depth chart?
That is the million-dollar question. But do you think it is to the point to where is where, I guess, where would you draw the line to say, all right, this Thorne is not getting any better. We need to throw somebody else, give those number one reps to somebody else and just see if they can make a difference in the game. Because we truly believe that where Thorne is performing cannot be, Robbie and or Holden could not be far worse from this at their very worst. But surely if they improved a little bit, it could potentially be better.
I'll say this. I don't think Robbie Ashford is starting SEC quarterback. And I say that based off his play last year and the little bit of play I've seen this year. He still cannot consistently pass the ball down the field. Now, we haven't seen Thorne do that much this year either, but you know what? He threw for 7,000 yards in the Big Ten. And I'm sure this is going to make a lot of people angry on here, but the Big Ten's not that far off from the SEC. There's really two power conferences these days, and the Big Ten's the other one of those two. So he has done it at a high level in another conference. Now, he's not performing this year, but I think you have a better chance of hope that he will right the ship and go back to who he was, especially that first year at Michigan State, as opposed to Robbie Ashford all of a sudden getting way better and completing close to 60% of his passes, which I don't know if he's got it in him at this point. And I don't know if he ever will have that in him.
All right, so here's a hot take that went around here. And this one, maybe you've heard it before. And I'm going to paraphrase it because you're going to be very happy because you say you want to dive in the deep end. And yeah, this was it. A lot of people were out there saying that we fired Gus at the wrong time. Shouldn't have fired Gus. Should have kept Gus. A lot of various spinoffs of that. I'm going to step out of the kitchen for a little bit and let you fire up the stove.
Anybody that knows me off the internet knows my feelings on Gus Malzahn.
I think the people on the internet know him too.
Yeah, you probably do under my different pseudonyms on the internet. I think Gus Malzahn, we should have let him walk to Arkansas in 2017. And I think our entire status as a program today would be completely different and the better than it is right now. Gus, if you look at his recruiting classes, which if I get a chance to come back on your show in the future, you'll get to know this better about – you already do, but listeners get to know this better about me. Recruiting is my number one focus when it comes to outlook and how what your program is going to be 3 years down the line. From 2013 to 2016, the recruiting classes were great. Gus was killing it on the trail, beating Alabama and Georgia for players. And I think that's why you saw a lot of success, especially on his side of the ball from those years. Go look at that 2017 class in 2018, 19, 20. What was happening in, I think, 21 was that last class he had. Green classes fell off a cliff as far as the talent he was bringing in and what panned out there. And that's the biggest issue you saw in the decline of the football teams those last 3 years. Now, I know 2019, he went 9-4, and that ended up being a better year. But I think the lion's share of that 2019 success can go to two people, Derrick Brown and Marlon Davidson. They just dominated SEC offensive lines the whole year. So I think it was not only do I think it was a good move to let Gus walk, I think we did it 3 years too late. That would be my answer.
Now we got another one in here to even continue that further. I just saw somebody said Gus wasn't the issue. Now we don't know exactly what issue that may be referring to, but I'll just kind of let you take this here. What are just spitball some points of some issues that actually might be on Gus?
I just brought up the recruiting. Go back and look at his recruiting classes. The players were not panning out that he was bringing.
We'll say current issues. That just to keep it topical.
So are you saying this team's current issues that are due to Gus? Well, yes. I mean, go look at the 2020 and 2021 recruiting classes that he was largely responsible for. I have this saved somewhere. I think last time I checked, the 2020 class, if you looked at players that he landed out of that class, maybe five of them ended up being good players for Auburn out of 25. And then I think this has been discussed ad nauseum on Auburn podcast in the past couple months. But I think the one player out of the 2021 class, which Gus is largely responsible for, that ended up doing anything at Auburn is Jarquez, and that was a Harsin recruit. So he's got no players in that recruiting class that are contributing to Auburn right now. So that's a perfect example of how he's hurting Auburn today.
Which should be redshirt sophomores and or juniors. Your key in the 2020 should be
your upperclassmen, seniors should be Gus players.
Right. And then so what I kind of want to let everybody know here is when you have a roster that is patched together with duct tape and corks, it's not going to float very well. And that's kind of where it's at right now. So, I mean, obviously I agree with that on the recruiting side, especially. And it was insane to me that when that stat came out of, like, I forget who the last Fighting Soldier was that left that 21 class. So it was just Jarquez Hunter left. And it was like, oh man, Brian Harsin was a plague. And like, yeah, don't get me wrong. We can dog Brian Harsin all day, every day about tons of things, but at least
sign me up point for that, by the way.
Yeah. Point the finger where it's due. Like, yes, Brian Harsin, I don't know, maybe had 15% blame to do with that class, but the fact that he really had, like, you know, a few weeks to salvage that after early signing day, that was a huge majority on Gus, just to keep it fair and objective. Yes, as Brian Harsin tried to top it off, but he can only do so much.
As one of the Auburn Internet's foremost and earliest Harsin haters, I will defend him on that 2021 class. He really didn't have anything to do with that. He did what he could those last month, I think, before late signing day when he got there, and ended up getting the only player that panned out for us. So I'm not going to put the blame of that class on him.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he came in, it's Christmas time, not a ton that you can do there. Yeah, and as you said, foremost early Harsin hater, you heard it here. But that's the thing about it is, honestly, and those are out there, no, there's plenty. I mean, if you want to really just dog on Harsin, there's no shortage of content of stuff to do that. There was plenty that he did that was very much worth heavy, heavy critiquing for. And it's out there. But let's move to another hot take here, okay? We're going to rewind it back a little bit here. This is going to be a little bit more open for debate. So this will be fun.
Let's hear it.
Beating a mediocre Bama team 6 times under Tuberville made our fan base comfortable with not being a national powerhouse.
Beating a mediocre Bama team 6 times made us uncomfortable with being
not being a national powerhouse. I think the idea they're trying to say here is, hey, we beat Bama's state champions. That's good enough for us. Gotcha. We didn't really care about national relevance. I think that is the wording that this tweet is trying to take. And let me just say here, the context of this is what Auburn take has you like this. It's a meme of Kevin James wearing an Auburn hat surrounded by swords, which was a thing from Tangled. So it's like a very meta meme there, but it's just basically what has you standing in the middle of the crowd of people being like, I don't agree with that. It's a hot take. So we're asking people what has them in the vast majority trying to defend their hot take against the masses. So that is the context of everybody in here. I just saw a hot take I can't read on air, but that's pretty funny.
Dude, let's go.
No, I can't. I'll text it to you, but I cannot read this one on air. So go back to the one about that, the Bama 6 times in a row.
This is kind of, I don't know if this exact wording I would have put it in, but this is kind of an idea that I've talked with you several times that I think this kind of mindset is what is holding Auburn back from being a national powerhouse to a large degree, which is that a sizable portion of the fan base does care as much or more about beating Alabama than being a consistent winning program. And when I say consistent winning program, I'm talking about winning 9 to 10 games a year. I think Auburn at its peak can probably be a program where on average we're winning 9 games a year. We're going to the SEC championship at least once every 4 years. Now that you're in the playoff era, that translates to getting to the playoffs at least once every 3 or 4 years. I think Auburn can be there. But I do think probably just beating Alabama is good enough for a lot of Auburn fans. And that's probably more true for the older Auburn fans that grew up in the 70s when we were getting dominated by Bama every year and living in the same state. And I don't think that's true for the younger Auburn fans. But the older Auburn fans were still in power at the time that Tuberville was here. So that may be true. I don't think that's that crazy of a take.
Yeah, I mean, I got to cut off there. If you were able to drive and you have memories of Iron Bowls and Legion Field, that may be it. Because that was, I mean, when that was when Alabama had the vice grip of that until Pat Dye broke it in the 80s, was when it was right. in Bamberham. That was their time to shine. So, and I mean, that was, it's insane, because that was essentially just a home game for Alabama. Like, I mean, it's, you're about, you're 45 minutes, if that, from Tuscaloosa, you're 2+ hours from Auburn, the huge alumni base of Alabama fans in Birmingham. It was just like a cheat code.
You and I are both from Birmingham, and I think we both know well that the proverbial 50-50 split is not exactly 50-50. It's probably closer to 75-25, if we're being honest.
100%. Yeah, and that's pushing it there too.
Yeah, maybe that may be generous.
Did you check your phone for the text that would be said on air?
Hold up.
Just give a live, don't say what it said, just live reaction for that one. That was incredibly creative.
That's not so bad.
Okay, we can't say it.
I agree with him.
Oh, it may be true, but yeah. we can't say it. Pretty good. All right, this is going to be an Auburn culture one. The swag surf should be retired.
No, I love that. I love that cheer. Yeah, you and I both. I graduated in 2014, so it's after my time. I think you graduated in 2015, so it's after yours too. But I was in that Georgia game in 2017 where I think they started doing it. And the atmosphere was electric when they started doing it then. And I think that song's almost become synonymous with Auburn at this point. Kind of like All I Do Is Win. All I Do Is Win has become synonymous.
So here's the, and that one got a lot of debate. So that one got a lot of different people out there. And where I will take it is, I think, because they're starting to do it at every sport and every game and this and that. And I think it's gotten to the point where it might be getting a little too overplayed, where it loses its luster. Now, when they do it and the lights go off and it's flashing, it is absolutely electric. But when you're beating Samford by, 30-something points in the fourth quarter, is it really the same? Or if you're, losing by however many touchdowns to Penn State, do we really, that to me is like a night game. It's SEC. It's close. We're trying to get the crowd pumped, save it for a special occasion. That was kind of my thing on it, because I think it might, it's not yet, but I think it runs the risk of possibly running its course. And I think it's too awesome to do that. So, yeah, but that one got a lot of people talking. And there were a lot of people that actually thought the same thing, that it should be potentially retired.
I don't know, man. I like it. I like it as a fourth quarter song. If they just keep it as that, I think it's okay. But I'm also a 31-year-old, not college anymore. So generally my take on this is, whatever the 18 to 22-year-olds want to do, whatever they think is going to make the stadium have that more electric atmosphere, they're probably correct. So if the majority of people think it should be retired, then I guess it should be retired.
Somebody said, this is on the same deal, someone said the student section needs to learn how to swag surf. I don't know exactly what that means, so maybe I don't know either. A lot of people in here were saying Heather Dinich was right about her comments about the wide receivers being for yikes or whatever she said preseason.
There's zero. So, I mean, you can't clarify that as a hot take anymore. That's just a stone cold fact.
Heather
was right. I mean, I didn't like it. I didn't like it either, but I mean, hindsight is 20/20, and Heather had that beat on that one.
Yeah, she definitely caught a lot of strays for that one, and I think we can all say at this point, game five, whoops, are bad. Because I disagreed with her too. I was like, oh, she's sleeping. I was like, yeah. So sorry, Heather. That, maybe we'll just title the episode "Sorry, Heather."
Come on, maybe we'll discuss.
Yeah, we'll get you a gigantic poster board card. And just have every Auburn fan sign it. And I think a lot of people would be fine with that. All right, here's one. White face masks suck.
It's another one of those things where whatever the 18 to 22-year-olds want to do, they should keep doing it. I'm not a fan of it. I love the white stormtrooper look with the blue navy face mask. That's just classic Auburn. When I think of as a young kid and seeing those Tuberville teams run out in the field with those giant numbers on their uniforms and the black cleats and the black socks and the navy face mask. That's synonymous with going 13-0 and winning 42, 43 games in 4 years, however many games we won in that period.
Getting some dirty sacks, some defensive lines that were just nasty.
Just incredible defenses and just putrid offenses at the end of Tuberville's career. Kind of like Gus too. That's our lot in life, though.
Yeah, that's the tall tale signs of an ending coaching career, or at least Auburn coaching career. So this one can be a little bit more up for debate here. Expectations for first season. Expectations for first season with a new head coach are too high.
Probably agreed. I expected us 7-5 or 8-4 before we started. I think we're on track for probably 7-5 right now, so it's not that different from what I thought. But I think a lot of people saw all those transfer, those 20 transfers we got, and thought these kids were all going to be studs. But most of these kids had to transfer for a reason, it looks like. I think we're batting about 50% so far on the year on that, which is probably a pretty good number to get right. If you're getting 50% right recruiting, you got really good teams, it looks like, historically.
Well, all right, we're going to do a quick pause right here on this episode. And let me just ask you something. Do hot takes, like really bad takes that Auburn fans would defend with their lives, do those make you mad?
Depends on if I agree with them or not.
No, like the ones that you don't agree with, like Gus should be the coach right now. Do those make you mad?
They make me angry. Uncontrollably so.
Well, there's a great place to go if you're mad. Have you ever heard of it? It's called Opelika Rage Room. They also have a location in Birmingham. Have you heard of this before?
Yeah, I think I might start having to burn some money there if we keep dropping 10 balls a game or however many we're dropping.
Well, that's great because they are the sponsor for today's episode. And you heard that right. If you're watching some Auburn games and you're seeing a lot of drop balls, you're seeing bad offensive play, you're seeing bad inning everything, you're seeing losses you don't think Auburn should have, well, guess what? Go to opelikaragerum.com if you're in the Auburn area, or birminghamragerum.com if you're in the Birmingham area. Book a session today. Reserve your spot and time. Bring you, your friends, whoever else needs to go there. If you're Auburn fans, this is going to be potentially a really good season for it. And honestly, if you're Bama fans, I hope you need the service soon because I'm also – obviously, I'm rooting against Alabama all the time. But yeah, check it out. It is a great place to have birthdays, date nights, just nights out with friends. Break some stuff. But it just be you actually got some rage in you. You just want to have fun and do something different. It's a great and new fun way to just have fun with friends. But like I said, check that at opelikaragerum.com, located on 2nd Avenue, just outside of downtown Opelika, and on 7th Avenue South in Birmingham at birminghamragerum.com. Back to the episode. All right, so yeah, I agree about the expectations on first year coaches, and I think that's probably honestly one that Gus Malzahn ruined for people. I think people, and it's kind of a media fault that a lot of the sunshine pumping and just you have to hype people up in the off season. That is why SEC Media Days is the way it is. Every team came out of SEC Media Days thinking they're going 12-0. You don't see a team coming out of Media Days with like this team's gonna be really bad, because that's just not how it works. They're all talking themselves into something good. Auburn is just as guilty as everybody else. And yeah, those expectations do really fall. Well, that's just on anybody, but especially with a new coach, because you're in the honeymoon phase, everything's good. And Hugh Freeze had a lot of momentum with what he was doing with recruiting. And then reality had to hit him at some point.
I think he's got it, man. I think he's got the momentum still.
No, I was saying in the offseason, he had the momentum that was having people excited. What I was saying is that when the season came, that's a different type of momentum, like recruiting momentum, and then like, hey, what the team's going to do on the field. Like, that's not necessarily going to translate directly, because those guys who he's recruiting are not going to be here for another 1 or 2+ years.
Correct.
So, and then after that, they got to develop and learn and get in the system. And so you just assumed like, oh, he's killing it with the recruiting. We're going to kill it. It's like, you know, everything's grand. And he even said it like, this is going to be a works in progress. He wasn't coming out here like, you know, go to Vegas, get your slips. We're going to the Natty. Get those big odds while you can. Hey, it's going to take us some time. He warned everybody, and I think we're seeing it. Now, I will say where the expectations were, I'm just kind of gritting my teeth, no secret here. The quarterback play and the lack of passing still's got me feeling some type of way. I think that should be much better. The fact that Peyton Thorne, and I said this on last episode, we're going to say it again, the fact that Peyton Thorne in his 3 Power 5 games has only thrown for 220 yards. He's at 55%. 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. That is like beyond unacceptable. That is historically bad. I went back 20 years in stats and looked at every single game. I'm talking Clint Mosley. We're talking Kyle Frazier's. We're talking Gimp Shoulder Chris Todd, Cody Burns when he was running the Burn Cat, even some Barrett Trotter's bad games. All of these, there was nothing even on the spectrum of being close to this bad. And obviously, the crazy part is Peyton Thorne has been up there with the best in Big Ten football. So I'm still processing how that doesn't make any sense. And that's where my expectation is. That's not a hot take. That was just a rant.
Can we go in on that a little bit?
Yeah, if you want to go in on it, go in on it. I brought it up, so we got to go in on it.
So it is a lot worse than I thought it was going to be, too. And probably should talk about this, too. My takes these days are probably a little less spicy than what you've heard from me in the last 7 years. Because the head coach we've got now is the head coach I've wanted for the last 3 years or so. Back in 2020 when we were making our hire, I was ask memes. I was pushing for Freeze back then.
Yeah, so that was like a stop. It was like a stop steal, bring in Freeze kind of situation. Yeah.
We did the first part right. We screwed up the second part.
December 2020 was lit.
Yeah, it was. We had a good time on the internet. So I'm a big Hugh Freeze guy, and I'm going to give him at least until the 2025 season, until I start making sweeping judgments on how the process is going. But the offense does look worse than I thought it would be. And honestly, I think a lot of that has to do with we didn't realize how little talent we had on offense, combined with all these players, all these transfers in a brand new system playing together for the first time. And frankly, I think Thorne's just, and you've I've talked about this, I think Thorne's just in his own head big time. I think the yips are real, and I think he's got them. And maybe that's on Freeze and the coaching staff for not keeping his confidence up there to where it was when he was in the Big Ten.
I agree. I think that's a very safe synopsis of it. Now jump into the next ones here. And there's a lot of different variations on this. So we're just going to jump right into it because I can't read necessarily everybody's take on it. But this is probably one of the most polarizing ones as far as just some people on this side, some people on the opposite. Some people are very, very much for, and some people are very much indifferent and or against playing Georgia every year. What are your thoughts on that?
I love college football because the tradition and the rivalries go along with it. I think unquestionably, Auburn will be in a better position if we don't play Georgia every year, which is going to make a lot of people angry. I understand that.
Does it make you angry?
No. If we kick Georgia off the schedule and we get somebody else back in return, it would not make me angry. I still think we're going to get who we want, not who we want to, but I think we're going to get our fair share out of Georgia in the future. I don't think not playing them every year is going to hurt our recruiting in that state because we're right there when we have a competent recruiting head coach, I should say. So I don't think the only detriment there is you're not playing one of your historic rivals every year, which I would prefer to play them. If you gun to my head, I would say I want to play them every year, but I don't think it's going to be a huge issue if we don't play them every year.
Well, it's one of those things where I think we just got to come to the realization that the tried and true traditions of college football, what it was a decade plus ago, and there's a lot of like debates of where you can really drop the pin of where college football changed. But I will just say college football in its purest of good old fashioned, like 2007.
It was the last couple of years of the BCS, which is crazy to think about because Auburn fans, we are one of the fan bases that got hurt the worst by the BCS.
Right.
But in hindsight, that probably was the best system what we had going for us. It made every single game special during the regular season. And I think the 14 playoff is a reason for a lot of the recruiting issues where every good player in the country was going to five or six teams. I think that had a huge reason for why those teams just were so dominant for so long. Thankfully, NIL and transfer portal have kind of dissolved the talent back out to a group of about 15 to 20 teams, which NIL's got its own issues too, but I think that's helped out there.
Yeah, no, I would say definitely I would definitely say BCS is kind of
it was the halcyon days of college football.
Right. Yeah. That was definitely after that was when you started seeing things kind of change there. So yeah, but with all those traditions kind of going away, I think you just got to adapt to the change, and some teams are going to lose some rivalries, and it's just, you can't have everything. And that may just be one of those compromises Auburn has to let go of. But as you said, there are positives moving forward that not having that game on the schedule. I mean, what has Georgia been for the majority of the last 20 years? Essentially, it's been an automatic ugly loss.
Well, we've discussed this too, but I think Georgia's the best job in America. And I was saying that prior to Kirby Smart getting there. When you look at the talent that's in that state and how that high school talent's been upgrading for the last 20 years in that state, they're the only big-time state school there. I mean, they were sitting on a hotbed for decades. And finally, they got a guy that could tap into it.
Finally could capitalize on it, absolutely.
Now, I will say, if I had my druthers, I think I would rather the schedule be the 3-6 model where you have three permanent rivals and you rotate the other six. And I would love it for it to be Alabama, Georgia, and Vandy. I want that easy win as that third. But I want to keep our big two players.
To me, I thought that rivalry lost a lot of its luster when they moved it from November to September. I think that, and granted, I mean, Amen Corner, and then when you had it after 2012, where both of those games, Alabama and Georgia, were away or home simultaneously. Granted, it was in its perfect form when you had those alternating home and away, and they're both in November. Cupcake in the middle or not, bye week, you know, indifferent about that. But it, I think he lost a lot of it there. So, I mean, at this point, it's like, it's kind of just on its deathbed as far as what it once was. And I think if you're going to do it, you need to get it back in its purest form. If you're not, just, yeah, let it kind of go and still be a rival game. You don't play as often. It's just kind of part of the adjustment we're going to have to make.
See, I will disagree with that real quick. It doesn't bother me that we're playing that earlier in the year. I think the biggest reason that we're disenchanted with the state of the rivalry is because we're getting our butts kicked every year.
No, I mean, that's 100%. I mean, can't deny that. But that's going to keep us depressed if we just keep looking back at that, because there's nothing happy to talk about with Auburn Georgia rivalry here. But a few other quick ones. Brian Batty is our best offensive weapon.
He has been the last couple of weeks, I would say. I think Jarquez is the most talented. I also think that something's up with him. I don't know what it is, if it's just because he wasn't practicing with the team for so long. He may be the fourth most effective running back on the roster right now, just based off what I've seen this season. I think Alston looked like a stud. Batty looks like a stud. You know, I love my short kings. I'm a short king myself, so I got to ride for my short kings. And then Cobb has looked electric. Like he's
line
a
line play.
Go for it.
No, I was saying line plays better, so we can't just blame it on the offensive line. Like right. That's been a very easy narrative for the last 4 years. I mean, it's the line play is serviceable for pass, and it's not perfect, but it's serviceable for both pass and rushing. So like,
we're running the football well.
Yeah, I mean, that's something Hugh Freeze did do. I mean, the upgrades they've gotten in line for the most part have been a net positive rather than a negative. So here's another one here. Bo Nix would still be mid if he were at Auburn.
Who's his coach, I guess, is my question. I think he had really poor coaching up until he had Mike Bobo coaching him. And I don't think Mike Bobo is a good OC, but I do think he's a heck of a quarterback coach. And you could see Bo getting better over the course of his junior year. So I think I don't think he'd be as good as he is with all that talent he's got around him in Oregon now, but I think he'd be better. I don't know if I'd call him mid, because I think he was a little bit above mid already the last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so hard to say what would happen after the injury, but that's, I mean, it's a hot take, so.
I don't think he'd be a first rounder at all, when I'll put it that way.
This has got to be a troll. Peyton Thorne would be a Heisman, would be in the Heisman running next season.
You can skip that one. That's not real.
Hey, and if it is, we're going to have a.
Yeah, you come on the show and you teach us stuff.
All right, I'm going to combine these two. One, Tumors Lemonade ain't great. And then two, when people insult Mama G's, I go off.
I ate the heck out of some Mama G's in college. But it is not even a top 10 sandwich shop in America, like chain restaurant in America. You can go to Jimmy John's, Jersey Mike's, Lenny's, anything, get a better sub than you can get at Mama G's. That's another thing. It's just nostalgia that's condemned. I mean, you got to eat that sandwich within 5 minutes of getting it, or it turns into a puddle on your plate. So.
They don't steam them as long. See, I like that soggy sandwich. I like it soggy and hot. So I tell them you got to double steam that thing. What about the lemonade?
I'm not a big lemonade drinker, but I agree. It's like, it just tastes like you're just drinking pure sugar when you drink that lemonade there, which is good. Right. Don't get me wrong, but you can go like three, four sips and tap out.
Yeah, yeah. The older you get, I mean, that's going right to your thighs. Got an insulin shot. Your doctor's going to be pissed at you. You know, it's definitely good for the college students there, the young kids. So This was kind of going back to the swag surf earlier, but this will kind of go back to our time at Auburn. All the above plus the team running at the student section was better than the swag surf.
You know why it was better than the swag surf?
I know what you're about to say, but go off.
Because Cam Newton was leading a 13-0 team or whatever we were. And, you know, if Auburn was 13-0, we'd all be like, swag surf's the best ever. It has to do with how, if you're winning games or not. That's what it all comes down to.
Yeah, no, I mean, if Auburn's undefeated and Cam's leading the swag surf, then I mean, 100%. Yeah, that's right.
We'd all be loved.
Auburn will be lucky to finish with a winning record.
I think Vandy's bad. I think Mississippi State's bad. I'm not sure what to think about Arkansas. I think we can beat Ole Miss at home. If we play a heck of a game, I think we can beat Alabama at home. So I think there's enough wins possible wins out there to still have hope for 7 wins, 8 wins even possible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's happening, but there's people already picking through LSU's defense. Like, all this defense is awful. This is a matchup problem. I don't agree with this. I'm just saying there are people going there already. So with the bye week, you're going to be see a lot of people looking at advanced stats LSU defense, really hyping you up for that one.
They haven't looked good.
Yeah, I don't say buy into it. But, I mean, yeah, Judkins had been struggling running the ball, and then he just went off on him. So, I mean, yeah, we'll see how it goes. But it's in Baton Rouge, and we know how that goes. So without Brian Harsin, can you really expect the win in Baton Rouge? I don't know. That's crazy.
The worst coach in the last 50 years, or at least since Barfield, he gets our only win in Baton Rouge in 25.
Yeah, no, the Cajun King. Not many people can win there. There goes Brian. You'll agree with this one. Somebody said, should have hired Freeze in 21. You already hit that. There's a few in here kind of mixing about Robbie and what his situation could be. We kind of hit that one earlier.
You know,
so
I feel about Robbie, yeah.
Yeah, to avoid repeating. This will be a quick little one. This is a little throwback here. CJ Uzomah was better than Philip Lutzenkirchen.
Agreed. This is a great hot take, and he's right. RIP to Lutz. He's an Auburn legend. One of the best tight ends in Auburn history. That's not taken away from how good of a tight end Lutzenkirchen is. I think that's more of showing how underrated and underused Uzomah was at Auburn. I mean, that guy is how many years has he been in the NFL now? 10, 9? He's still starting. I think he was vastly underused at Auburn.
Yeah, one thing I want to say about the tight ends is I remember the Mississippi State catch that he had in 2013, Uzomah, and just that
clutch
jump air snag. And even, I forget what game it was, too. Tell me if you can remember. Lutzy had one where he had like a one-handed snag dive.
Ole Miss in 2011.
2011?
He caught it behind him. He was running toward the pylon, and he snagged it from behind him.
And that's one thing that this team's got to get that nobody on offense has really got. It's like got to get some of that clutch in them.
I think we may have one guy who's got it. We just don't get him the ball very well.
You talking about Fairweather?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. That catch that the tough catch that he could have had, like he's got to, and obviously he did that one great one against Cal. But, yeah, we got to get some folks looking at him there and looking at Thorne. Got to get some clutch down there. People talk a lot of debate about orange jerseys. Some people say they should die. Some people say it should bring them out. I'm indifferent about them. I don't know how you feel about it. We got another one about firing Gus. I know how you feel there. Somebody said, let's see here. I'm going to do this one and I want to end it on this other one because this one's kind of a crazy take here. But somebody said Hugh Freeze is Pat Dye 2.0.
I may or may not have said that in a little buzz state on the internet before, so I don't know if that's me or not. I was tweeting at you the other night.
That's your burner or plagiarism?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. No, I don't know if it's fair to call him Pat Dye 2.0, but I think he's definitely our best hire since Tuberville, I think, as far as a pure coach goes. And I mean, let's face it, Auburn hadn't had a murderer's row of great head coaches since Pat Dye. So I mean, that very well could be true.
All right. And then we had one here. Actually, there's a few more that were good I just found. So we're going to pause on that one. But Auburn fans are delusional and can't stomach being bad for the sake of being great.
I think I don't know if necessarily delusional. I think college football fans in general don't have the ability to look at the big picture. And I know that's something that you and I have talked about a bunch over the last couple of months. But we got a full rebuild on our hands. That's how bad the roster is after the end of the Gus tenure and the Harsin tenure. So I do think there's some truth to that we have to stomach being a mediocre team before we can be a great team in 2 to 3 years, something like that. So that guy's not – I don't think that guy's crazy for saying that.
All right, and this is the last one I want to get us with, and we'll get a quick recap of it and then cap the episode. And this is definitely possibly a jab at Freeze, so I want to see what you think here because Freeze is your guy.
Well, let's go. Let's fight.
Great coaches coach around talent deficiencies. They don't use it as an excuse.
I do wish he would not bring it up as often as he does. I haven't had very many complaints about Hugh Freeze at this point. That is something I wish he would talk a little less about. I also think you shouldn't discount how he may be using that in recruiting, saying to all these 4- and 5-star kids, hey, I don't have anybody on the roster. I need you. You come here and you start next year. So I think that's a little bit of what's going on there too.
Okay, I would actually agree with that 100%. And I do actually. I'm surprised. I thought we were going to take a different direction on that. But yeah, I think. I mean, it's fine to say it. I think it may have been said a few too many times out of context. You got to be careful because obviously
disagree.
You got guys on your team. You don't want to upset them. But also, too, there needs to be clear messaging to recruits. But there also needs to be clear messaging to your team and you don't need those lines to blur to where it could potentially, upset one or the other.
I agree.
Let's recap this here. So give me your hottest take, the one that you do not agree with at all. And then give me one that you said, you know what, that wasn't a hot take. Congrats for some level-headed commentary in the discussion.
The hottest take that I don't agree with is whatever insinuation that we made a mistake firing Gus. That's crazy. We can do it. We can do another episode on this if you want to. We can go through just how big of a hole he put us in to begin with, how much he underachieved at Auburn. But that's a crazy take to me that we did pulling the trigger on Gus. Oh, it was too soon. He deserved to go 3 years before that.
The offseason, that's going to be some offseason content.
Yes.
No, that's going to be offseason content, some retrospect. Because in the offseason, you got nothing to talk about. So, all right, your favorite take.
As far as favorite take, I really like that last Uzomah was the best tight end we've had. That's true. Something I've thought about, never verbalized. Trying to think what else we have out there. I mean, I think it's true that a lot of Auburn fans care more about beating Alabama than building a consistent winning program. I think talking heads get a lot wrong about Auburn, but I do think some of them get right that there's a portion of the fan base that cares more about that.
Yeah, no, I need to be raw. And I will say this one actually just jumped up on the feed as we're about to wrap it up, and this is incredibly stupid, but it's a take, and we love it that the conversation – when I say stupid, I don't agree with it. I don't want to insult anybody's takes. It's for the
sake of the interest. We can. It's okay. I'll do it. You don't have to, but I'll do it.
Okay. UGA should be Auburn's annual rival over Alabama.
Agreed. I do. If you that's another thing I was going to bring up earlier. If you put a gun to my head, say which team you want to play every year from here on out, I'm picking Georgia. Because I do think
over
that,
Alabama.
Yes, I don't care. I think that does more for Auburn recruiting than playing Alabama does every year.
Wow. Okay. See, yep. I didn't agree with that at all. I didn't mean the anonymous poster. I didn't mean to call that stupid. And you got it. Pat Barnes agreed with you, so that's what I'm saying there.
DM me if you can figure out who I am on Twitter and we can commiserate over it.
Yeah, no, that's definitely interesting. But you see, that's what I love about these hot takes and these type of deals, because it gets conversation going, gets some unique perspective, recent and new. Just like you said, I mean, CJ Uzomah over Philip Lutzenkirchen. God, I cannot talk today or read. So, yeah, it's fun. And then some people, like always, will always do some really bad ones. People will always have some really good ones that kind of, you know, get some things going, and that's kind of the fun of these things. So everybody who replied to that, thank you so much. We'll obviously do this again because hot takes will always be rolling. There'll be new information. So we'll probably do another one of these into the season. This was a kind of good midway point through the season to evaluate all these. I'm sure we'll have some other ones. And if the take is super, super hot, we'll just do a whole freaking episode dedicated to it, because sometimes they deserve it. They can be that bad or that good where it needs a whole conversation. But this was a fun little trigger round. Pat, thank you so much for coming on the show to talk about it. For anybody that gets this stuff out on social media or the boards, just be looking, trying to figure out who Pat is, because he's probably hit you up on some of these. So he can't tell too much about what he's dealt with out there in the wild, because he cannot give away his secret identity. But I guarantee you, you've interacted with them one time or another. So thanks so much for coming on. We're going to wrap this show up. You can't find him on social media or on the message boards, because that's the point. You can try, but you can't. We're not going to tell you. And then for everybody else out there, thank you so much for listening to the Auburn Daily Podcast. Check it out on YouTube at the Auburn Daily on Twitter. And of course, you can find me at Twitter at Auburn Memes. That is going to wrap it up for today. Make sure to like and subscribe to the episode. Please give us 5 stars and give us a good dad joke in the reviews, and we'll read it on air. That's going to wrap us up. Y'all have a good one. Thanks for listening.